Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dynamic Cables Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Natasha Jain from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I, Natasha Jain, on behalf of PhillipCapital, welcome all of you to the fourth quarter FY25 earnings conference call of Dynamic Cables Limited. From the management today, we have Mr. Ashish Mangal, Managing Director, Mr. Murari Lal Poddar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Govind Saboo, IR Advisor. I would request the management to give their opening remarks, post which we should open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Ashish Mangal, Managing Director of Dynamic Cables Limited, and it's my privilege to welcome you all to our investor conference call for the financial year ended 31st March 2025. I extend my sincere appreciation to our shareholders, investors, analysts, partners, and well-wishers for your continued trust and support. FY25 has been a milestone year in the journey of Dynamic Cables. I am pleased to share that we have crossed 1,000 crore in annual revenue, a remarkable achievement that signifies our evolution into a larger, stronger, and more competitive organization. For the first time, our operating profit has exceeded 100 crores, underlining the strength of our execution capabilities and operational strategy. These achievements have been driven by robust demand across sectors, our commitment to on-time delivery, and disciplined financial management. Our order book, which currently stands at 726 crores, reflects stronger customer confidence and provides us with healthy revenue visibility for the upcoming quarters. We also made meaningful progress on strengthening our balance sheet through effective working capital management and cash flow optimization. We generated 56 crores in cash from operations. I am also pleased to report that we have reduced our debt levels, and our credit rating has been upgraded from CRISIL A- to CRISIL A. This upgrade is a clear endorsement of our improving financial strength, operational resilience, and governance practices. Looking ahead, we remain highly optimistic about the structural growth drivers in the power infrastructure sector. The government's push for rural electrification, railway electrification, renewable energy expansion, and the shift towards high-voltage and smart distribution networks will continue to drive sustained demand for our products. In line with our long-term strategy, we are expanding our manufacturing capacity with a new facility expected to be operational by H2 of FY26, diversifying our product portfolio, particularly in the high-voltage and specialty cable segments, deepening our presence in export markets, especially in the U.S. and Australia, driving operational efficiencies and digital transformation to improve margin resilience and delivery precision. These initiatives will further strengthen our market position and support sustainable revenue growth and long-term margin expansion. At Dynamic Cables, we remain deeply committed to value creation for all stakeholders, ensuring that every step forward aligns with our mission of building a world-class organization known for quality, reliability, and innovation. With that, I would like to invite our CFO, Mr. Poddar, to take you through the detailed financial performance of FY25. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are delighted to report our highest-ever annual revenue and a record order book. In FY25, sales grew by 34% over FY24, with operating profit rising 36% to INR 105 crore. Operating margin was at 10.3% in accordance with our long-term guidance, and PAT increased by 72% to INR 65 crore, reflecting our strong financial performance. Customer-wise contribution in FY25 was government sales 18%, private sales 73%, export 9%. Product-wise contribution in FY20 was HV cable 57%, LV cable 36%, conductor 7%. As of 31st March 2025, our order book stand INR 726 crore, providing strong revenue visibility. Thank you, and we are now open for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Piyush Sevaldasani from Sundaram Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats for a great set of numbers. So my first question is on the sharp revenue growth for the fourth quarter. So our previous understanding was that we have capacity for 1,000 crores of top line, but fourth quarter run rate is much higher. So can you help me understand what has led to such sharp growth? And also if you could provide how do you see growth in FY26 and 27?
Yeah, hi Piyush. So we did a capacity debottlenecking somewhere in October, November, and I think it was shared with everybody and investors in the last call also. So with the current setup, we estimate that we can do a sales of around 1,150 to 1,200 crores annually, and that is our revenue capacity as of now from our plants. In addition to the existing setup, we have also announced a greenfield expansion project, and that is also under implementation and should commence operation in H2 of the next financial year, FY26. So this is how we stand at the capacity levels. Generally, Q4 is a heavy quarter for us as a business cycle. So not only for us, in fact, for all the cable manufacturers and our peers, because lot of delivery of takes does take place or does accelerate in the last quarter of the financial year, and this is the main reason for a sharp of uptake of the revenue in Q4.
So just on the demand side, do you see strong demand still continuing, and can we expect 20% figure over next 2 years, 26-27?
So on the demand side, I think we don't have to, the figures are simple. Order book has increased. So I think in December we closed an order book of around 680 crores odd. And in 3 months we delivered around 330 crores of sales, and still we have increased the order book to 725 crores. So this itself is the testimony of the traction of the demand scenario which is prevalent in the market. Going forward, if you take a long-term view, last 5 years we have grown our sales by around 20% CAGR. And I feel that there is no reason, because it's a structural, we are in a structural cycle. We all know the macro dynamics behind that. And I think Piyush, This is all I can tell you about the growth traction or the demand scenario which is there in the market as of now.
Sure, sir. And sir, has it thought of any capex beyond just 35 crore capex this year, or that is still some time away?
So we have not announced any other capex other than the ongoing capex which is there, and just on a factual basis, we have a land parcel near to our existing plant which is vacant and can be utilized for another set of expansion.
And sir, there's a sharp decline in the working capital days. Is this the now new, is what is it sustainable going forward?
So there are two reasons for actually sharp decline or whatever the working capital optimization part. One is our government business. So if you look at our contribution of government business, it was 23% last fiscal, and this year it has reduced to around 17-18%. So this has been a big contributor. And secondly, the favorable tailwinds give us a better kind of terms of trade in the market. And thirdly, as we have in last 5 years we have moved to large corporate clients, so the customer base has improved a lot for us as a company, and that is ultimately getting resulted in all the working capital optimization which you are seeing in the numbers.
Sure, sir. Also, the debt level has come down, so this interest cost drop which has been to 2 crore. So incrementally, should we expect similar run rate to going forward?
So basically, on the debt side, we don't have much long-term debt. I mean, if you look at our balance sheets, which we will not see much of a long-term debt. We 95% plus of our debt is, or 98% of our debt is working capital debt. And working capital debt keep on fluctuating based on the working capital requirements of the company. A major portion of the reduction in cost of or the financial cost in our P&L is also attributable to our increasing credit score. So as the external credit rating has improved, the internal credit rating of our banks have improved. So or automatically the cost of borrowing as a maybe interest rates or the commissions which we have to pay out for LCBG or the trade finance which we take on our factoring platforms, that has also kind of played a vital role in reduction of the finance cost.
Sure. And the staff cost and other expenses, I see a sharp increase for fourth quarter. Is there any one-off or if you want to highlight?
Yeah, so fourth quarter typically kind of accounts for a lot of incentives and bonuses, performance bonuses, and that is a reason for a sharp increase in the staff cost in Q4.
And sir, any updates on the US business which you were saying? That would be last question.
On the U.S. side, the update is that we received one product approval last fiscal, which I think we updated also. The two more approvals are under pipeline and which we are expecting in the next fiscal. We have kind of deployed the sales team in for the U.S. market to start engaging with the customers. The only I would say that the macro scenario around the tariff and all those things, we'll have to kind of wait a little to get things cleared out before we go aggressive in the market. And also in the meantime, we are expecting the two approvals which are in pipeline. So both of the things should go hand in hand.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Madan Gopal from Sundaram. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Ashish. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I am fine. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
Really, congratulations for the good set of numbers and been observing for the last 1 year since we started investing in line with what you guided, and most importantly, balance sheet remains intact as we grow. That's very heartening to see, and congrats for that. One question that I had was, I think if we look at last 2 quarters or so, domestic capital goods companies except power are seeing some moderation in the activity in terms of order inflows. When you look at your domestic numbers and sector-wise, if you have done some assessment, does any sector sort of worry you in terms of growth slowing down?
So I really don't see any slowdown for next 5 to 10 years, which we have explained in various meetings before also. And with the kind of infrastructure the country is witnessing and with the kind of EV mobility coming, with the kind of renewable sources, infrastructure spending is coming, we really don't think, especially in cables, we don't see any degrowth in terms of numbers in the demands anywhere in the cable.
Completely agree with you, and the other cable companies also have shown good numbers. But if I see the industrial side of the market, the industrial sector, like commodity, the metals and cement and all, the growth momentum seems to be little slowing down. Is it getting off-balanced because of the renewables and the power side to such an extent that the overall slowdown that's not being seen by the cable companies?
Sir, maybe for this particular one or two quarters, the difference could be there. But on a long run, if I see, I don't see any kind of difference in demands, whether it is infrastructure, whether it is industrial side. In both sides, there is a huge demand coming up.
One question which Piyush asked, I just wanted to elaborate a bit more on that. We also see that given the global requirement for power and data centers driving growth of power demand, we are seeing some of the Indian companies which are exporting to these matured markets are seeing higher growth, despite their domestic numbers are slowing down. So we are putting our effort. You think we need to little hasten our speed in approaching these markets so that the opportunity doesn't get missed? And if post the tariff or noise, that is there an opportunity that you sense?
So, Madan, we are already exporting in some 36 countries, which are like some Asian countries and some African countries. So from past 3-4 years, we have already started pitching in for some markets in US as well in Australia. But the little difficult part is the approval process is a little slow and it's a big long process. So that all is already happening, which is in pipeline. I don't think we'll miss the bus anywhere because there is a long-term infrastructure spending going to happen in these two countries apart from what we said about the semiconductor thing and the data centers. These two will be the additional demand. Apart from that also, these two countries, these two basically continents, America and Australia, they are replacing their whole grid. So there is a huge demand coming up in next 20 years from these two places. So we don't think we are late anywhere.
We will see some meaningful numbers coming through from FI. Is it FI26 will be too early? FI27 will be probably a year in which we will see meaningful traction in exports?
It's an FI27, we can see some numbers.
Okay. Great, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam.
The next question comes from the line of Aman Baheti from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I have a few questions on our order book. So can you give us a breakdown of your current order book?
Yeah, so largely the breakdown is we have the power utilities, which is our major kind of business segment, around 70% of the order book is concentrated around the power utilities, and out of those power utilities, out of that 70%, around 15% is export and 55% is domestic. Roughly, I am giving you the breakup. The balance is the solar portion, and
The last portion is the government sector. So that is very less, around 7-8% is the government segment. But this is the broad breakup of our order book.
In government, we are only doing railway signaling, right?
No, not railway signaling. In government, we are supplying to this government DISCOMs, power and distribution company.
Okay, so I mean, apart from these segments, what's the outlook on our other segments?
So these are our major segments, largely. Renewables, power utilities, and DISCOMs.
Okay. And sir, like you highlighted, that the terms of trade were good in this quarter, but despite that, the margins are flat. So, I mean, can we expect similar margins, or if the terms of trade are, doing good, we can expect some expansion in margins going forward?
So we are in a B2B business, and in a B2B business, we also have some competition which we have to face. And largely in this business, we are insulated by any commodity fluctuation because it's a price variation clause. So in all our contracts, and so we kind of trade in a margin range of 10 to 10.5%. And consistency of margins are there within our business segment.
Okay. And sir, I mean, with the current capacity, as you mentioned, we can do around 1200 crores of revenue at 100% right. Utilization. And we are adding some capacity in second half of this fiscal year. So how much revenue potential can that capacity add?
So that has a revenue potential of around 200 to 250 crores.
Okay. And are we expecting a good utilization from this year itself?
We hope for a good utilization. It's too early for us to say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vidit Trivedi from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of the questions have been answered. I just wanted to know if you could give us a mix of the margin mix between low voltage and medium voltage and conductors. And second, what are the sectors which are margin accretive?
So margins are, as a follow-up to the previous question, In our business, there are margin depend on the demand and supply of particular products. It is not a segment-wise margin which is kind of consistent. So there may be some products in the HT segment also which give us good margin. In LV segment also, there are a few products which give us good margins. So basically, it is how many suppliers are approved for a particular product, or how many suppliers kind of supply those produced those kind of products, that is what determine our margin trajectory. So in products which there are only 2-3 suppliers, we tend to get a higher margin. In products where there are more suppliers, our margin kind of is more competitive in nature. So this is how
sorry to interrupt you. And what's the spread between domestic and exports margin?
Again, it's almost a percentage here and there, order on order basis, but largely it remains consistent across.
Got it. And what are the sectors which are margin accretive for us?
What I am saying is that the niche products or the new products which we develop in the market, they are more margin accretive. As those products become more popular and the suppliers increases, the margin kind of goes down. So we have to kind of develop new products every year. It's a continuous process on a continuum. We are developing new products so that we are able to increase or maintain our contribution from the new products which are margin accretive for us.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for letting me ask you questions. So my first question is with respect to the order book. You said 70% is from power utility. Can you give the split between export and domestic?
So export order book is roughly around 100 crores.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, I wanted to understand the current capacity in terms of cables for the company. What is like the current capacity?
Capacity in terms of production capacity?
Yeah, production capacity, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So with the current plant setup, we can do a revenue of 1150 to 1200 crores.
No, no, no. I mean in terms of cable production capacity, like kilometers, how much kilometers can it produce?
Not measurable, not measurable.
Oh.
Because we have a customized production, we have a multi-utility machineries, so it's not measurable in terms of any volume terms.
So can we get the capacity utilization level of the existing plant?
In terms of machine time, we can do, but again, it will not make any...
No, I mean in terms of percentage.
Around 80-85% on a directional basis.
Okay, sir. And can we expect the existing plant to achieve 100% utilization in this year?
We all hope for that.
And sir, you said the one last question with respect to the greenfield expansion. The capex for the greenfield expansion is 35 crore, and you said he it can do about 5 to 6 at the turn. So how long will it take for it to reach optimum utilization?
So we are trying to reach the optimum utilization as fast as possible. For that, we have already started the quality, the PQR requirements of our products in the current plant itself. So we have taken the BIS license for the new products which are going to be manufactured in the new plant. Plus, we have also on a small scale, small to medium scale, we have started producing those products and started getting the approvals in place, so that as soon as the new plant starts commissioning or starts production, we don't have to wait for that gestation period. So our PQRs are, I mean, we are trying to build our PQRs beforehand only, so that we can accelerate faster than usual.
So from what I understand is, with respect to the new plant, there won't be a gestation period, which means by probably this year end or the first half of second year of FY27, the new plant as well as the existing plant will run at an optimum capacity, about like 80, north of 80, 85. So are we going to have further expansion capacity with respect to capacity?
So the endeavor is, as you rightly said, and the intent of further capacity is also there. We already have a vacant land near our existing plant and the new plant. So there is a scope of capacity expansion there as well. So we'll take up once this project is commissioned, we'll kind of take a more objective view on this. On the new expansion.
So, can you give us the vacant land size? Like, how many acres of vacant land do we have?
15,000 square meters.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions so that the management can answer as many participants as possible. If you have any more questions, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshai Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
And congratulations to the whole Dynamic Cable team for a great set of execution. So firstly, I wanted to understand what has been any new product launch in the current quarter, as we were going to launch a product in the wind side, right? Wind cable and thing like that has been launched in the current quarter.
So we have, as I just was discussing with the earlier participant, we have started the solar cables in our existing plant itself. So that is a new product in itself, which we have launched. Apart from that, we have also launched a specialty conductor, a new specialty conductor, AL59, in the market. So BIS, we have taken some BIS approval of that product. We have got a order also for that product. So yes, so these are few developments or maybe product developments.
Okay, yeah, understood. And secondly, on the new greenfield capex side, so we are going to be in the higher KV and above 6 KV. Any plan for that?
No, not. This is not the bad capex which will be taking care of EHV. We will very much be in HV and LV segment only. The only thing is that we are getting into the solar cables and also this e-beam technology. So these are the two developments which are new developments in the new plant.
Okay, so
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Goes up. Only one last question. So considering both new capex and the current capacity, so you can do around revenue of 1400 to 50, right? Correct?
Yeah. Approximately, you are right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Artist, congratulations to good set of numbers. So my question is on your margin side. As I can see that you are earning a good margin around 9 to 10% on an average. Considering the current expansion in our company, like a new greenfield capex and ongoing demand in the industry, so are we expecting to improve our margin going forward? Or what is the sustainable margin in our industry?
So coming back to all the same answer, that our margin trajectory has remained consistent, stable for last 10 years or so, and it has been in the range of 10 to 10.5% on operating profit margin level. So, and we believe that this will continue for us, given the competitive landscape which we are in, and the product segment and the nature of business which we are into. This should continue.
And sir, currently we are having around 9% in our export. So are we expecting to improve our mix in the export market as well? Because in the US, I can see that there is a good demand and there is some tariff challenges as well. So are we expecting the export will go rise from here, like 9% to go further?
It should grow. We are directionally taking a lot of steps to improve our export sales, and especially in the US, which we had a detailed discussion earlier with the earlier participant also. But I think it will take a year or so to get into numbers. And second important thing which I just want to highlight here is that while export remains a good growth potential for us in the longer term, but there is a lot of domestic demand which is also kind of occupying us in terms of our plant capacity and management bandwidth. So that is also driving the growth a lot for us, and export has remained kind of marginal growth area for us as of now.
And sir, if you could tell me what is the export duty in case we export to the US currently?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
What is the tariff regime currently imposed by the US government on our product, like we are exporting to the US?
So we are not exporting to US as of now. So I think once we start exporting, you will get more details on the tariffs and other things from our side.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Avnish Borman from Vicaria Investment Management. Please go ahead. Avnish, please go ahead with your question and kindly unmute yourself in case if you are on mute. Avnish, are you there?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, I have a question regarding your future plans for US export. Which kind of cable you got approval for, and what are the tariffs which currently exist on these kind of products? And do you know, like, currently, let's say India is around 10% tariff. I'm not sure the same is applicable for your product. But who is wearing that tariff? Is it the you have to bear it if you supply, or there is enough pricing headroom there where, like, who are you competing with, local manufacturers or other exporters, in which case a tariff differential will be helpful to pass on that incremental tariff?
Hi, Vinish. So, right now we have UL44, which is one of the prominent items which is being sold in US, highly competitive. And the other two licenses which are less competitive, which are in pipeline, which we hope to get in another 5 to 6 months. So by then we'll have a complete basket to offer a particular wholesaler or the reseller, which we are planning to start the marketing in the next quarter. So that's how the whole plan is there, to come up with all the three UL licenses. Your second question about the duty structure, right now it is 10%. Right now it was 10%, I must say that, but it is not. There is no clarity yet whether that imposed additional duty is on aluminium or is on aluminium cable. So there is no clarity yet. But whatever the duties are, they are uniformly on all the major countries worldwide where from the cables they are buying. So I don't think there will be a huge impact unless they built in their own capacities of making the cables within the country, which I don't think it can happen in next 4-5 years. So I don't see much downside that side unless the clarity is there. So this clarity needs to be done. Once the clarity is done, then the duties, whatever the duties are, they are uniformly applicable to all the exporters who are doing in US. And your third question was the duty. So normally it is borne by the suppliers in the case from India. So we call it DDP based, duty delivered, duty paid and delivered at their site, which is on DDP terms. We are offering these type of cables in US markets. But
you're competing against
duty. So that differential duty is a burden of the buyer.
Okay. I meant to say, are you competing with the local manufacturers or Mexico guys? And is there an apprehension that Mexico is largely the Chinese transshipment, or they have a local manufacturing which is genuine and which is supplying there?
So there are a lot of manufacturers in Mexico, and they are also facing the heat of this additional duty. I don't think any country which is making cables and supplying is not facing this heat. So this is a very uniform duty which is applicable to most of them.
Okay. It's not a part of USMCA, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think so, because as of now we have not actually gone into the market. We are also starting the same. So whatever information we have, it is mostly being imported from outside.
Great. And your cables are like these high tension cables, right? High voltage ones. The ones you are supplying, or low voltage ones?
Mostly right now are the low voltage ones, but the ones we are planning for next couple of years, that will be high voltage ones.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Tushar Gupta from Shagun Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Are you audible?
Yes.
Hello. I want to say, like, all the big companies are doing capex of thousands of crores, but we are not doing something big. How can we see the revenue for upcoming years, and what will be the growth rate we can expect?
So hi Tushar, we are already doing a capex and the new project is under implementation. And as our policy has been, if you look at our track record, we are always getting into incremental capex planning. So we try to set up or do some capex, utilize it to the fullest, and then move on to the next capex. So this is how we have been growing in terms of our revenue and all those things. If you take our 5-year track record or 10-year track record, you will see that we have been growing our revenues by around 20% kind of CAGR, and that has been our track record for your reference of future growth as well. So this is all I can tell you, Arthur. And
okay, sir. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Angur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congrats for a very strong set of numbers. So my first question is on this order book of 726 crore. Will this be executed and delivered in the first half?
Not really. So our order book is, the average delivery time of our order is around 6 to 9 months kind of. So depending upon the delivery schedules and all those things, this should be delivered. And as the QC happens, the production schedule comes based on by the customer, we have to produce, get the QC and get the products delivered at the site. So this is the entire process which needs to be followed.
Got it, sir. And sir, you said our five-year sales CAGR is around 20%. But if I look at last year, it's like 34% growth, and our order book has grown 40% almost this year. So what are the reasons for this accelerating growth, and can we expect similar kind of growth this year like last year?
So there are two large reasons, if I have to classify in terms of our growth this year. One was that the renewable segment which we started this year gave that additional growth to us. So I think last March our order book in renewable segment was very, very marginal, while this year we have almost 100 crores of orders in hand from the renewable sector. So almost 0 to 100 is kind of acceleration which we have got in this new segment. And secondly, there was a very, very favorable demand from the power utilities. So all our customers, especially the corporate EPC guys, they had lot of demand traction, and which played out in our favor. So these were the two major reasons for a high growth number this year.
And sir, both these sectors are continuing, right? Given if I look at your order book.
Of course. As I told you, around 70% of our order book is from power discoms, and 15% of our order book approximately is from renewable.
Does that answer your question, Ankur?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify on the full year guidance for this year.
We generally don't give yearly guidance as a policy. So you can kind of, the order book is there, so you can just have an assessment based on that.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Janice Chedda from Kemfin Family Office. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, I just want to add a couple of questions. One is, in terms of your current revenue growth, can you break it up in terms of volume growth and the realization increase?
Just a second.
Sir, it is around 33%.
33% is the volume growth. And secondly, as the previous participants also asked, can you break it up in terms of how much, like, since our margins, how much is the high margin business and the low margin business, if that's possible?
it varies, yeah. It's not objective for us also and for you also to kind of get into this. But on a blended basis, what we have kind of always maintained, you can see our track record for last 5 years, 10 years, the margin ranges between 10 to 10.5% on a blended basis. And that's what we intend to continue in future also.
And one last question. In terms of realization, we expect this realization to be maintained or there can taper off a bit in the near future?
Realization?
I mean, 33% is volume growth and roughly 4% would be our realization increase.
Right. So, yeah, it should continue. I mean, there are two factors to it. One is the commodity price factor, which is not in our control. So it is just a pass-through. Whatever is the commodity price variation, it gets passed on to our customers. So that is not in our hand, and it's difficult to kind of quantify that or estimate that. The second important factor is the value-added products, which we kind of try to high-value products or which we try to develop and market for ourselves. So yeah, 3-4% is a reasonable assumption for.
So that is where I was coming to, the value-added products share is expected to go up?
I think it should be consistent. 1 or 2, 3-5% here and there, it can vary quarter on quarter basis. But yeah, on a blended basis, it should remain consistent because the base is also increasing. And so the cycle is in such a way that it should remain stable for us.
Thank you so much. I'll join with you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vidit Trivedi from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the follow-up question. Just wanted to understand, you have just mentioned that you'll be exporting to the US and Australia. Which are the sectors you'll be showing good traction?
So most of the, it is almost the same sector what we are already serving, which is the power and distribution, and the other one is the renewable. So these are the main sectors which we will be serving in whatever export countries we are doing.
So, got it, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Avnish Borman from Vakaria Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have a follow-up. Just one comment you made that the contracts are DDP if you were to in future export to US. Any duty differential would be on buyer. What does it mean, duty differential on the buyer?
What happens at the time of order finalization, suppose the duty is 10%. So we give the price on the basis of that 10%. And if there is any duty change, whether it is positive or negative side, it is on the account of the buyer. At the time when the goods are being cleared in the respective country.
Okay, so this is a standard practice in most of the export orders?
Yeah, so only in US this kind of deal happens. In all the other cases, we are doing the CIF shipments, which is up to the port. We are not bearing any duty or the internal trade. It is only in case of US this kind of business is happening.
And you input the duty rate, which is prevalent at that point of time, and in future if that changes, buyer will take care of the differential duty.
Exactly.
Okay. And you are basically the proposition for you is that if you're competing against other exporting countries like Mexico and others, you think you will be at an equal, if not better, position in terms of
exactly. Yes, exactly.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Thank you all the investors for participation, active participation, and in case of any further queries or questions, you can reach out to us by email and we'll respond to you as and when we receive any query. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.